Tatapatastandulagarvani Dehendriya swasya sannikarsha
Dehendriya swasya sannikarsha
Čovjek je vizi Maharaj Raghugana taking the subservient role of a disciple, stepping down from the role of a king. This is a material designation. And to discuss spiritual topics, one can't be sitting on a palanquin and listening to a guru who is standing on the floor. So as proper etiquette, he steps down, falls on the ground, flat at the feet of Jalavara, who we know has very highly exalted divine qualities due to his attachment to the Lord, bhakti, the potency of bhakti, bhakti shakti. That shakti overpower the shakti of the king who exercises his power of shakti over the citizens. Now the king is stepped down and he is asking, the roles are changed from that of a king to a disciple, that of a palanquin carrier to that of a spiritual master. Even after having taken that step, King Raghugana does not completely switch off his intelligence and blindly accept things, which Jalavara said in the previous verses. Fat or thin, and these are all material designations of master and servant, these are all still material. Hearing this, Raghugana understands that, wait a second, I am not talking to an ordinary palanquin carrier. I must switch roles and now ask spiritual questions to an highly exalted person, and he glorifies Jalavara, asks for his where you're coming from, who are you. And now he's starting to make some logical counter arguments to what Jalavara explained. Second observation that I made based on questions put by Raghugana is that he is frankly admitting his position. I am in body consciousness. Your instructions seem to be at a very high platform. And I am using logic and I am putting forward this particular argument in front of you. So the point is frankly admitting one's position and not showing off himself to be a highly elevated person. Now, question to all of you. Do you remember some other instance in the Bhagavatam or other stories where, the epics, where a disciple frankly admits his position and asks for help? Yes, ma'am?
Arjuna.
Arjuna, very good. That's how Bhagavad Gita begins. Karpani Dosha. Yeah. What is that Swabhava? That time is? Can you explain? That was that you quoted.
Because of my own weakness, I'm using my substance.
Yes.
Bhakta Swabhava. Prakshani Khan, tell us some more. Now I'm confused about what is the right thing to do.
So he's frankly admitting and not able to decide what is correct, what is wrong. And then he surrenders. So frankly admitting one's position and taking shelter of Guru. Okay. Any other example?
Chula Vyasadeva.
Chula Vyasadeva, very good. Can you expand on that? We have another one.
Vyasadeva was not satisfied even after dividing the four Vedas and after compiling 80 Puranas.
So Vyasadeva was not satisfied even after compiling the four Vedas? Yes.
And then he admitted his dissatisfaction with spiritual master Narada Muni.
So he admitted that to Narada Muni and then he got fabulous. Very good example. Any other example of disciples admitting frankly?
So Narada Muni was also asking to his father, Thomas, who has created the universe. I was thinking that you has created all the universe, but then Brahma admitted in the first canto that no, the Supreme Lord who has created everything. So then, yeah, Narada Muni submitted before Brahma, his father.
Very good. Yeah. Narada Muni submitting before Brahma and frankly asking questions. Something from the previous canto, which canto we are now? Fifth. Previous verse. Fourth. In fourth. Any other character?
Dhruva
Maharaj. Yes, Dhruva Maharaj. So, Vivek, one
question. The stages of the Dhammacharya.
Oh, stages of Dhammacharya. Okay, yes, go ahead.
So they were invited from Sri Goswami.
Yeah.
So they started it and they were asking questions.
That's good. So anything from the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj kindly admits his inability to carry out the good words of Narada Muni. Narada Muni advised him, be satisfied with what comes from your own accord. You're just a child, don't take his words seriously. But Dhruva Maharaj said, my dear Lord, your words are true, but I am born of a particular nature, Kshatriya nature, I can't take this advice. So he's frankly admitting his position and he's putting forward inquiries. Can you suggest me something else? So here in this episode of Raghuguna and Jalabharat, Raghuguna is admitting that I am materially entangled. And this is how I think. I am my mind, I am my body, soul is inside me. So if the body is getting heated, the mind is getting heated up, the soul also gets heated. And that's how Srila Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur puts it. Because the heat of the milk, so we all understood the scenario. Pot is there. Milk is there, inside the milk, there's rice, and we're boiling the milk. So, the fire reaches the utensil, then from there it transfers to the milk. Milk is boiling, so when the outer portion of the milk is boiling, then the rice grain, then the outer layer of the rice is getting heated, and then the inside is also getting cooked. Similarly, how are we covered by outermost covering the gross body, then inside there is the subtle body, and when both are getting disturbed, heated, put in cold, put in wind, the soul also gets heated, soul also gets wet, soul also gets dry, soul also gets cooked. Is that a valid argument? So how will you say that it is not true? There are Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav students. How will you refute this? I am inside the body. Body is getting disturbed. Body as are getting disturbed. Because of which mind is getting disturbed. Soul is inside the cross inside the body. Just like that. Rice gets cooked, soul will also get cooked.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then he's defining the properties of the soul. The soul is completely transcendental, heat, weight, nothing touches it. It is the association with the subtle body and then identification that leads one to believe that I am very good when you are not.
So, the sequence which Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur explains is that yes, the body experiences it through the senses, then the light air gets disturbed and that creates disturbance in the mind. And because the soul identifies himself with that particular experience, then based on that you feel pleasure or pain. So that is what is being explained in the purport as well. This is one example which is in the translation itself. What's the other example that's described in the purport? What is for
the car example?
The car example. Someone else would explain what the car example is about? Someone who's not spoken. What is the car example? Why is it used? And what is being brought out? One more. He drives a lot. Okay, so Krishna describes Yantra Rurami Maya. So if the living entity is sitting as if in a vehicle, if somebody comes and scratches our car or hits or some unfortunate event happens to the car and we are sitting inside the car, we also feel, if it's a newly bought car, we feel it's as if it is scratched us. And we will feel that. And as and when the car gets, it's got many dents and scratches and okay. Among the 10, this is 11. So, I was even seeing a YouTube video which promotes spray which takes off the scratches. So that person who promotes it is saying, nowadays, off late I've seen a lot of scratches. Now this one spray, you spray it and then you wipe it. So he's so attached to the car that he can't tolerate the scratch in the car and he's paying money to go and get spray it, and then he's nicely polishing it as if it is his own self. So this is due to misidentification, due to ignorance, and you feel that when the scratches are gone in the car and you are satisfied. Well, unless you feel your stomach, you will not be satisfied. Just by wiping the wiping off the scratches, you will not be satisfied. You can't drink petrol and diesel and engine oil and live. That is for the car. And your body requires food, nourishment, that's a different source. The soul also requires a different kind of nourishment. So after this we covered the two analogies. The other key point that are coming up is the conditional state. We will dwell on what this conditioning is in a little detail. And how it can be avoided, the solution is also given. So watch this line carefully. This conditional state can be avoided if attachment is withdrawn from the car. Then the proprietor would not feel pleasure or pain if the car is damaged or whatever. So, conditioned state, that is the problem which we will analyze, common state condition. And one of the solutions is taking the attachment away and putting it on something else. So, before we move into the details of conditioning, another mundane example of when a person is oblivious to bodily pain because he is attached to something else. Now, you all would be familiar, you yourself would have played some sports or you would have seen someone else playing sports. So, when you are playing the sport, you are so absorbed that minor scratches, cuts and wounds, you won't be aware of it, conscious of it, because you are attached to playing the game, winning, and that takes you out of the bodily platform and you're so attached in the results, you want to win. So later when you come home and check there are bruises, cuts and this and that, and you start doing the first day. But during the game, in the field, you're totally oblivious to all of that. So this is how we understand when we focus on something higher, then we can transcend the bodily and mental pleasure and pain. Matra sparshastu kaunteya sita ushna. Become transcendental to all this. And why Krishna is saying that in the beginning, when we reach the middle six chapters, when especially in the 12th chapter, that is one of the qualities that will make you dear to Krishna. So from the beginning itself, the kind-hearted Lord is injecting qualities which will make you, when you read the middle six chapters, dear to Him. For that understanding, we need to come out of the conditioning. So before dwelling on the topic of conditioning, I am so much conditioned. I need the blessings and the prayers of the devotees so that I can come out of this condition. So, sections which I am going to read are from book of His Holiness Shivotra Swami, Vedanta Psychology, where Maharaj has taken from various sections of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's more like a collection of references put together in the form of essays, and one of the essay topic is how much we are conditioned. I'm reading two sections of it. So, to understand how much we are conditioned, how much layers we are covered under. Once we know how much we are covered under, then we can come out of it. The conditioned soul is covered by seven kinds of gross bodily layers. Seven. Okay. Skin, flesh, bone, muscles, marrow, fat and semen. This is from Krishna book chapter 2. So the gross body we are talking about is defined in simple terms in 7th chapter of the Gita, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And these skin, flesh, bone, muscles, marrow, fat and semen are the combination of those five elements, and this is how the soul is covered grossly. Now, moving on to the subtle conceptions that are imposed by the mind. So mind is a subtle covering, and you have subtle conceptions based on the mind, where the consciousness goes through the mind. So let's try to understand this. So there is a source of light and there is a prism. Then the light passes through the prism and then comes out in various colors, in various angles. Those who have done physics experiments or experts will know. What is it? Reflection, refraction, all that. Now, consciousness is there, it passes through the mind, and depending on where it is pointing to and where it is taking you to, you have different kinds of conceptions which are imposed upon you. The conception that life is food. Life is food. Wherever I am looking for, I look for food. We have spiritualized it and we have given a spiritual name, food for life. But if the living entity is focused only on food, where is my next food? Annamaya. The conception that life is food, that is called subtle conception, which is annamaya. Then once you get food, you have energy. What do you want to do? You want to move. So many people going to jogging, swimming and all those activities. So pranamaya, the conception that life is bodily movement. Let's move. Just do it. Of that concept where action. Thinking that by moving I am making progress. One should not confuse movements to progress. So pranamaya is that conception where it's all based on bodily movement. After that, next step is the conception that I am my mind, and whatever is the focus of my mind is based on accepting, rejecting, like, dislike. And you go through this over a period, you get frustrated and then you discriminate. Is this actually correct? What I'm experiencing, pleasure and pain repeatedly. So you tend to discriminate, then you come to a better culture, which is Vijnanamaya. From mental platform you raise to intelligence where you start to discriminate. Then finally, when you come to the point of understanding that spiritual realization will actually lead me to happiness. So that is the final conception, which is the exit door to get out of all these coverings. Understanding that the bliss in life is coming from self-realization. So we saw the gross layer, and then we saw the subtle conceptions. Now, the combination of these elements with the senses and the sense objects that will give rise to further, as Krishna describes, Icha Dvesha. Icha means desire, Dvesha is hatred. And then happiness, distress. This is the field of activity, what we discussed, and the subtle conceptions. And then once you deal with it, what you get, the result, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, as you start interacting. Now this journey is again not very pleasurable. We saw seven coverings, now we are going to number six. Number six talks about six kind of material whips. You know what a whip is? You get whipped. A horse or an animal gets whipped. So every living entity gets whipped by six whips. Any guess on that?
Thirst, hunger, sleep.
Thirst, hunger,
sleep.
Sleep is not listed, but it's a good guess. Thirst, hunger,
cold, heat.
Thirst, hunger, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. So from seven layers, we are moving to six whips. This is to understand how much the field, how much we are conditioned. Then here you perform four activities, which every scholar teacher will say. Eating, sleeping, making, and defending. And through this you engage in four type of simple activities, which is?
Intoxication, gambling, eating.
So, four kind of vices, which is? Which you take a vow when you get initiated, those four. And by committing these, you enter into three kinds of hell, which is? Through gates of hell, which is lust, anger, and
greed.
Again, you come into the clutches of six kinds of envy, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. And on top of that, there's fourfold miseries are there: birth, death, old age, and disease. Anyone not getting depressed yet?
What's the equation?
So this is the extent of the conditioning that we are put into, and the field that we are in. This is the amount of pleasure and pain, the desire and hatred, and then the transformation of consciousness from one level to the other level to the other level. And then we forgot about something else, the
three modes.
See the picture?
Yeah.
Goodness, passion, ignorance. So then all of them, they bind us, that they are called as guna. Another meaning of guna is rope. It binds us. Goodness binds by
knowledge and
happiness. Passion binds by excessive desires and plan making. illusion claimed by excessive sleep and indolence. Again, you are wrong. And the head of all this is our Mayadevi. Daivi Esha Gunamayi. Gunamayi. She is made of Gunamayi. My Maya. So she has two potencies, covering and throwing. Avaranatmika and Prakshetatmika. She makes you forget that you are the spirit soul, forgetfulness of one's spiritual identity. And then, after that, you are covered by the modes. Swarupa Avarika, ignorance that covers your spiritual form. All that we discussed, bone, flesh, marrow, all that is like, I'm wearing jacket, so if I wear one more. So that density we are packed, and this is how my covers, and then on top of that there are modes. And all the transformation that we went through, birth, death, old age, this is the seven whip, six whips. So this is the extent of that one word, conditioning. This is how Maharaj goes into details of all this. Now we discuss the solution. Anyone remembers what is the solution to come out of the conditioned state?
Detach.
Detach and attach to something superior. When you depressed. Now, from solution point of view, how do we come out of the conditioning? How does the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita begin? Can someone get the Gita?
Which chapter?
7th. Maya Shakta Vana Aka. So the word that I am looking for? So the solution we saw is conditioning can be overcome by attachment. If attachment is withdrawn. So what is the word attachment in 7.1? So as I was hearing you, giving Bhagavad Gita class, so she mentioned a point, it struck me. Right, how in these chapters, there is conversation between the Guru and disciples. So Guru speaks, disciple speaks. But in 7th chapter, only Guru is speaking. Here in this case, Arjuna, the disciple keeps quiet. The entire 7th chapter, Krishna doesn't give an opportunity for him to open his mouth, because Krishna is speaking on a topic which is very dear to his heart, which is what? Bhakti. That's the middle 6th chapter. So Krishna opens his mouth, never gives Arjuna any chance to open his mouth. He just speaks. And first thing he says, just hear, I'll speak. Mind attached, asakta mana, mani unto me. Yogam yunjan mad ashraya. In that consciousness of me, without doubt, completely, you can know me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now here, O son of Buddha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, not partial, not 10%, in full consciousness of me, how? That one of the coverings that we talked about, which is going to Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, Vijnanamaya, Anamaya. Focus that mind, that consciousness on me. That's what Krishna is saying. With mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So when the mind is attached to Krishna, that is the first step in coming out of the pleasure and pain of the body. And in this chapter, Krishna is saying that he is giving knowledge which is both phenomenal and luminous. Phenomenal, what does that mean? Any guess?
Something really wonderful.
Something really wonderful, okay. Yes, phenomenal. Something that you can use your senses and get the inputs, phenomenal. And then second thing he uses is luminous. I remember preparing a short glossary of words.
Having strong religious or spiritual quality indicating or suggesting the presence of the divinity.
That is luminous. So phenomenal is?
Phenomenal is the true meanings that we gave.
Sorry?
Phenomenal is the meaning that when we gave and when we gave. It's true.
Okay. Phenomenal is that you can observe through your senses. And in 7th chapter, Krishna is giving, even if you are in the bodily consciousness, in materially engrossed, even within matter, what is attracting you, that potency is me. Punya Gandha. So you have a list. Why is this list being given? So that the conditioning that we saw, whichever state that you were in, when so attached to earth, okay, the smell of the earth is Krishna. I'm so attached to water. When I drink water, I should remember Krishna. Taso aham asu kaunteya. Prabhupada even says that he is a drunkard, even if he thinks that the taste of the wine is Krishna, then he will get purified. Here is how we see the merciful aspect of the Lord. To whatever extent your condition, I am willing to get down to that level and help you. You are covered by those five elements. The potency of the five elements, that is me. The conditioning that you are stuck in, that potency that you are looking for, happiness in all those, that's me. The heat and the fire, now we are moving from summer, transitioning to autumn, so all the fans will gradually go down and the heaters will come out of the, so when you are turning on, experiencing all that, you see that, okay, I am attracted. Now I need heat, that potency is given by Krishna, so which means I need Krishna. I am thirsty, I am looking for water, which means I need Krishna. And I drink, it is quenching my thirst. Thank you. Prabhupada explained, that's how the personalist sees the merciful hand of the Lord. The impersonal sees the energy of the Lord. Now, we are in the bodily consciousness. By putting together these potencies and giving those material elements for you to play with, just like children are playing with mat and whatnot, their crayons and all. After time, they will, okay, have enough and come back to your mother. So now we ask you, okay, go ahead, play the earthly element, all combinations, and then you experience that six whips, transformation, all that, then you come to the Father. So that is the phenomenal knowledge which helps us to connect to the Lord even when we are in the conditioned state. So that is the purpose of giving that list. I encourage devotees to memorize the list. There is nothing wrong in memory and recall. Along with that, make the connection. Why is this being given? I think there are 15 things listed for each of the students. It's one of the questions. List how this the energies of Krishna in the 7th chapter. And we all be going. Heat in the fire, taste of water. It's good. Then make the connection, then apply it in your life. So when I'm drinking water, am I thinking about Krishna? If not, why not? start. So then jnana becomes vijnana, so you're putting it into practice. Now, second phenomenon, luminous. Luminous actually gave me more inputs about why Krishna is revealing this luminous knowledge. When I found the word, meaning of the word luminous, it says something divine, as Nityananda Prabhu said, having strong religious or spiritual quality. So, seventh chapter is saying, I'm giving you both phenomenal and luminous knowledge. Phenomenal knowledge about the world, and then the luminous. So, while we are in the phenomenal topic, the purports in seventh chapter talk about the three Vishnus. Vaibhodaksha Vishnu, Shirodaksha Vishnu, and Mahavishnu. Sorry, sequence is Mahavishnu, Vaibhodaksha Vishnu, and Shirodaksha Vishnu. One may wonder why we have to read about them. Bhagavatam later on explains that one who understands this creation process, it will be easy for them to come out and get liberated. And it is, as a matter of etiquette, before jumping into the Rasalila pastime of the Lord, the conditioned living being has to understand, as I said, conditioned living being, how much you are conditioned, what state are you in, and in this material world, who should you surrender to? Purify your conditioning, as Bhagavatam 1.2nd chapter goes through the purificatory process, or begins by hearing. Once you go through that, then these three Vishnus, they help you. One is the soul of the entire universe, all the universes come from him, Mahavishnu. Then one of the Vishnu enters into each universe, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And then Shirodaksha Vishnu. And each one of them is responsible for the different states of being that we are in, for the mind and the intelligence. As Lord Shiva, in his prayers, he talks about how each of the expansion of the Lord is responsible for each of the functions of the body, mind, intelligence. So, just to give a quick summary of that, this is from 4th canto. The chitta, the consciousness, is governed by none other than Vasudeva. Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and the fourth Chaturvyuha. Why are we reading about them? What is the significance? What is the connection? They are not only somewhere up in the spiritual world, their effect, their influence, their mercy is acting on you on a daily basis. So the purpose of that Rudra Gita prayer is to see that connection. Bhuta Sukshmendriyatmane, which means the chitta is controlled by Vasudeva, and the purpose of the prayer, please make my chitta peaceful, shantaya, and unchanging, and make that consciousness attached to you. And when consciousness is attached to the Lord, that is the solution for the conditioning, which we described in detail before. So, chitta has to be peaceful consciousness. Then, and it is controlled by Vasudeva, so the mapping is clear. Then, false ego. Sankarsana, the master of integration and disintegration. So, Lord Shiva is playing, bind my possessiveness, the false ego binds you. My possessiveness, bind that to you, my Lord, and reinstate my actual identity as your devotee. That's how Lord Shiva prays. So, I need some Krishna.
Hari Bol. Krishna.
prayer to Lord Sankarsana, Shiva prays, my possessiveness to the Lord, which is you, and my ego to my true identity as a devotee. So, chitta is taken care, ahankara is taken care, third is intelligence, buddhi. And Pradyumna is responsible for intelligence and for universal growth. So, he is responsible for universal growth. Anyone not aspiring for personal growth, everybody is aspiring for. So that we must take shelter of whom? Pradyumna. Enlightener of the universe, Vishwa Prabodhaye. So Lord Shiva is praying, wake up my intelligence so that I will situate myself in bhakti. Then the most powerful of all is the mind. The controller of that is Aniruddha, the supreme director. Director of the mind, Indriya, which is the chief of the senses, Rishikesha. So, to Aniruddha, Lord Shiva is praying, attract my mind to your feet through bhakti and keep it in a perfect state of cleanliness. With mind attached to me, you can know me in full. We saw that in the Gita. And that is governed, mind is governed by none other than Aniruddha. So this is one way of coming out of the conditioning by seeing the connection to the Chaturvyuha, understanding and knowledge of this Purusha avatars will liberate you, and absence of knowledge will keep you bound. Now we saw about the phenomena. Then the numinous, the word numinous talks about arousing spiritual or religious emotions. Numinous knowledge arouses spiritual or religious emotions inside you. It is mysterious and is awe-inspiring. It is arousing spiritual emotions. That's what the word numinous means. So why do we have to develop spiritual emotions? Because emotions are what sets you in action. We saw mind, it has got three ways of functioning: thinking, feeling and willing. Of the three, feelings, emotions, that is got the most power among these three. Now, within the Gita, Krishna also gives information about the spiritual world. Yet that Vahanamivatante. That place, having gone, you never come back. That place is not illuminated by sun or moon, it is self-illuminated. The liberated souls are always there. And the plea of Krishna in the form of the song of love, which is the Gita, is to take us from this conditioned state to that place. Having gone, you never come back. By that, Krishna is arousing the spiritual emotions inside you, and then he is putting a book for you to read further, Srimad Bhagavatam, where the descriptions of Vaikuntha are given in the first two cantos, and throughout the whole Bhagavatam, the descriptions of Vaikuntha are given. Why? To arouse that spiritual emotion inside you, that numinous knowledge is there. Why? To arouse that emotion. An emotion will put you in action, and that action, for you to perform, you need to have senses, mind, buddhi, consciousness, all that in a purified state. And when you do that, you come out of conditioning, which we saw earlier, and you're attachment to the Lord, that one particular line in the purport. This conditioned state can be avoided if attachment is withdrawn. So we are withdrawing from matter and putting it on the pastime of the Lord, beauty of the Lord, the abode of the Lord, His service. So this is why the numinous knowledge is given, so that your mind is attracted, your feelings are aroused, and you are set into proper action. Now Srila Prabhupada has masterminded this and has put everything into the morning program and our sadhana, because this whole sadhana is a purificatory process of all these coverings that we discussed, which will purification is done through cultivation, as the definition of the bhakti has to be cultivated. What is the Sanskrit word for cultivation? So, yes, so when bhakti is described, normally the word cultivation is used. It's like a field, you sow the seed, plant, and then water, all that. So there are different levels of cultivation, which Sivaram Swami describes in his book. At the level of spiritual cultivation means you are given education about bhakti in terms of who you are, what is the process, and what is the goal. So education through sambandha abhidaya prayojana is a form of spiritual cultivation. Cultivation is favors. Okay, let's not go into that. So let's come back. Spiritual cultivation. So then there is mental cultivation, which is done by understanding the qualities of a human being, out of which predominantly there is about physical cleanliness, purity, and then there is the spiritual side also. So we need to be aware of it and cultivate, which is integrated by Srila Prabhupada by making us chant the holy name and avoid those four vices. Bodily cultivation, which includes service to others, then engaging in devotional service through japa, through kirtan, engaging the body in going to pilgrimage. Then there is cultivation of speech, which includes prayers, preaching. My devotees derive pleasure by conversing with each other, one another. Tushyam ticha, gravam ticha. Cultivation of relationship with devotees and ultimately with the Lord. So cultivating relationship among devotees, so that's why we have nectar of instruction, six kinds of loving relationships. Then, in terms of being situated in the society in a stable varna and ashram, by observing your own inclinations, which you are inclined towards, and be situated in that, and play that specific social and spiritual role perfectly. This is a type of cultivation which will help you come out of conditioning and also get attached. So when we are discussing this point, we need to understand in what context. So this is helping you to come out of conditioning and also get attached to the Lord. And finally, cultivation of sense objects, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, sense of touch. If you see the morning program, all this is getting covered. You see the arati, all the five panchabhutas are getting offered to the Lord, getting purified, coming to us, then we sit and do japa. We purify ourselves. Then we have friendly relationship with the devotees. then you're properly situated, so you get initiated, spiritual stability, situated in Varnashram, proper stability there. All this is like a series of purification that will help you get out of the conditioning and attach yourself to the lotus feet of the Lord. I'll conclude with a prayer of Mother Lakshmi towards Lord Rishikesha, that she is addressing him with all these different levels of consciousness, that you are the master of all the senses and you are the reservoir of all good qualities. And Prabhupada, in purport to that, actually promotes this prayer, saying that this prayer composed by Mother Lakshmi has got immense spiritual potency. It is 5:18:18. In purport to this 5:18:18, this verse offering respectful obeisances unto the Lord was composed by Rama, the goddess of fortune, and is full of spiritual power. Under the guidance of spiritual master, everyone should chant this mantra and thus become a complete and perfect devotee of the Lord. One should chant this mantra. One may chant this mantra for complete liberation from material bondage, and after liberation one may continue to chant it while worshipping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha. So I'll read the translation of this and also some portions of the word-to-word meaning. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesha, the controller of my senses and the origin of everything. As the Supreme Master of all bodily, mental and intellectual activities, He is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are His partial manifestations. All the Chaturvyuha, all that is covered, you saw. And then the different levels of consciousness. He supplies all necessities of life, which are His energy, and thus not different from Him. And He is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also not different from Him. Indeed, He is the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship Him. Therefore, let us all offer Him our respectful obeisances. May He always be favorable towards us in this life and the next. So, we will recite this prayer. We cannot repeat. Om
Om
Hram
Hram
Hrim
Hrim
Hrum
Hrum
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate
Rishikeshaya
Rishikeshaya
Sarvaguna Visheshaya
Sarvaguna Visheshaya
Vilakshita Atmane
Vilakshita Atmane
Akutina
Akutina
Chittana
Chittana
Chetasa
Chetasa
Visheshana
Chadipataye
Shodashakalaya Chandomayaya Annamayaya Amrutamayaya Sarvamayaya Sahase
Ojase
Palaya Kantaya
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada
Jai.